A Brum time bomber, Connor Tierney, 14 Proud Birmingham. How are you?
Morning, mate.
Good. Morning. Good. Yeah, I'm good. How are you? You all right?
Wicked.
Very well, mate. Thank you. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah.
Obviously. Very busy man.
Yeah, very.
So we were just talking about your last fight there, weren't we?
Yeah.
Well, that's still fresh in the mind. Do you want to just go over that, reminisce for us, how that went?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it couldn't have been a better time. I headlined in my city, which is the first time we had a professional bare-knuckle in Birmingham. I headlined the BP Pulse, one of the biggest arenas in Birmingham. And we sold it out and we capped it off to 5,000. We sold it out at 5,000. Then everybody was there. We had the likes of Christoph Clara there. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was numerous Birmingham rappers and stuff, part of the Birmingham heritage. And then I headlined it against Danny Christie, who's one of the, you know, renowned as one of the toughest and biggest names in bare knuckle in the country. And, you know what I mean? And I just dominated and done that in front of my home crowd. I've been taken to my Big House of UK Worldwide title, so I'm buzzing.
How did that feel when you were lying into him? You could hear Keep Right On. Did you hear that?
Yeah. It's mad because there's that first round, round one, and like halfway into it, you hear the whole rendition, is it? of Keep Right On. And mate, it was so loud. It was that loud that his coach, Danny's coach, come up to me after and said, mate, I've never been in an atmosphere like that. He said he was like being at a football ground, which he was. Mate, honest to God, like, there were so many people that come up to me and said, I haven't heard this atmosphere for years. Like that atmosphere, what you brought with your fans, he was like, it was incredible. It was electric listening to that, which it was. Like, I remember walking down Amoy when I had the mix of all the Birmingham rappers and then had the UB40 kick in. And then I remember like having a bit of a tear in me. I was thinking, fucking wake up, you're about to fight here. And mate, honestly, as I walked down, I could just hear I could hear the roar of the crowd, man. And it was just like, it was like, give me goosebumps, you know what I mean? It just spiked me up, ready to go. Like, I was ready, I couldn't wait, you know what I mean?
Is it a conscious decision to make it like that? Like a football atmosphere, or is it just
So back in the day, it was all like, you want to be the Conor McGregor bare knuckle because of the way I was. But I think I've changed up the way I am now, and it's more want to be like the fan favourite, Ricky Hanna bare knuckle, do you know what I mean? And like, I've been saying this now for about 2 years before Ricky passing out. I was always saying, like, I want that Ricky Hatton atmosphere, you know, where he was pulling 20,000 people to America and stuff. He had everyone supporting him. It was constantly loud. You know what I mean? There was chants in the crowd. You could hear everything. Like, that atmosphere now, as a Brummie, no one in Birmingham is going to bring that atmosphere on now. I feel like, you know, we've got great boxers in Birmingham. Far levels above me, like Galal and stuff, levels above me, you know what I mean? And then you got obviously Leon Edwards, who's having a tough time in his career right now. But I feel like in terms of combat sports right now, I feel like I am almost the biggest name in Birmingham for it. I think I'm the one that's flying the flag. Whether or not I'm a Birmingham City fan, there's Villa fans behind me, there's West Brom, Wolves, you know what I mean? There's loads of fans behind me. I'm just becoming a very, very big name in Birmingham now. So I feel like I'm capitalising on everything, yeah.
Mm. Is there a bit of a class ceiling to who you can fight? Because we were discussing it earlier, and you can't fight people from BKFC, is it? And you can't.
Yeah, so there's two different promotions. There's one that I started on. So the early part of my career, as I started with BKB in 2019, and they're a completely different promotion to BKFC. So BKFC is the biggest organisation in the world. BYB was the triangle organisation. They took over BKB. And they're a big organisation. They're a good organisation, but they're not as big as BKFC just because the money's been pumped into BKFC now. But I had 6 fights to them, 5 wins, 1 defeat. Was the first ever BKB world champion from Birmingham. And I was the first ever prize fighter champion, which is 2 professional fights in one night. 2 fights in one night. Yeah. So, and the second fight I won, our first fight I won by stoppage, and the second fight I won by second round knockout. It was one of the best knockouts in BKB history as well. I was like a bump on the chin, man, it just folded, like, so yeah. So I've had a good career, like, as so far, and then I moved into BKFC 2022. I had that, and then I went and had a rematch with that guy for 7 rounds in COVID time. There was no fans in Bolton Arena. Bolton Football Ground is a part of that part inside. And we done a COVID sort of base to where the coaches had a face mask on. And do you know how much you got paid for that 7 rounds, BKB? £750. £750 I got paid. Wow. I had to give me a little bonus, give me £250 more. But Yeah, 750 quid is my purse to fight for 7 rounds, bare knuckle. It was a tough fight. You know what I mean? I was fighting another Brummie who's currently still with the promotion there now. And there was a lot of hatred and vendetta against us. You know what I mean? There was a lot of beef. And I went and accepted that, not for the money, for the legacy of becoming a world champion for the company. So when people ask about, like, is it worth it? I think depends what you want out of it. If you manifest it enough, like, look how big I've become now, like, I think it's become worth it. No, it's become the you know what I mean, the spazzy ants.
But yeah, you build, I mean, like we're talking there, your promotion, obviously Conor McGregor's leaned to it, isn't he? And then he was after you win, he was all over social media, weren't
they? Yeah.
So he was saying, where's his effing mic, weren't he? Why have you got a microphone in there?
So when Conor McGregor come into the company, I fought Johnny Graham when I actually won the UK title, and he shared that, and I think he got like 6 million views to post it, and like 175,000 likes, something like that. It was crazy. And everyone was like, oh, it's the UK champ now. It's the first ever as well, inaugural, BK was the UK world champ. So I'm the first ever world champion in history for the UK. And on the second fight, he didn't attend. Obviously, everyone wanted to attend, but I won, and he did say, so why is it the hometown hero not get any speech? Because, you know, you want to thank your fans, you know what I mean? I mean, one of the biggest events the UK put on, and I didn't get the chance. And to be fair, they did apologise to me, like, there was a glitch somewhere where someone couldn't get it through to me, to the ring announcer that I was to get on the mic. And he sort of like, mate, he was like, I turned around and everyone was just getting out in the ring, and I was just like, oh, fucking hell. Oh, yeah, you know, it was... But at the end of the day, I was on cloud nine, so I went too arsed at the top.
Mm.
It's just after, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's clicks and stuff for them, isn't it? As a company as well. Yeah. They'd use that then to be like, okay, because I imagine that you'd be like, come on, let's have it.
So it's just good content
for them, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, I think hopefully that gets sorted, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Well, when you do your defence down here,
yeah,
that's like 24,000.
Well, that's it. I've got to win. And, you know, I've got to fight here. Got to fight here at St Andrews. And you know what? I honestly think more than ever that it will happen. I think when you got to look at it as well, the last ever combat sport event here was when Henry Cooper won or defended his British title in 1960s.
Wow.
I looked at it, yeah. I actually didn't think there's ever a show, mate. But yeah, apparently it is. St Andrews held a boxing fight with Henry Cooper. So, well, that's a long time ago. And what's that? So if that's the 1960s now, we're like 60 years on. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I've got a good feeling. I've met Tom Wagner. Obviously, he had a picture of me with a belt. I spoke to Craig Gardner about it. I think people have spoke to Jeremy Dale about it, and he wants to chat with me. I think it's going in the right direction. If BKFC liaise with Blues and they get a couple of big boxing names to come across as well, because even though we're headline, you still want, do you know what I mean? You're still going to want them key marketable fighters to come in to, do you know what I mean? To advertise it more. And who knows how many people would come. If they price it rightly, I'd expect a fair few. You'd want 15 to 20,000, do you know what I mean? You'd want 15 to 20,000. Well, you imagine that, I sit there in the shower, mate, like, talking to myself. And I think, you know, when the players coming out and the flames are coming out, like,
we saw it with UB40 when that's kind of ad hoc on it thrown together.
So far
past that now.
Yeah.
It's so much more, with Knighthead coming in, it's more professional.
It is, yeah.
With the things they're doing with the women's sports teams as well, they seem to be embracing Brummies, don't they?
That's it, yeah. It's exciting now as well, like, how far it can go. And one thing is, I'd spoken to Birmingham Live, done an interview with Birmingham Live a couple of weeks ago. And the first thing, I'd spoke to him in 2022, just after New York, on about when we was going through the crap with the Chinese owning the club, and it was never going to be on the cards. I always wanted it, but it was never going to be on the cards because they're just, you know what I mean? They were backdoor runners that didn't want anything to do with the fans.
Yeah, and the only fight you'd have got down here was accepting Don Wren's invitation to the car park.
Yeah. And then I had a call off him, and he's like, man, when we done that interview 3 years ago, and I said, yeah, and he said, mate, Blues have come up now, you've come up now. He's like, I think that this is the chance now. So we've done an article, that'll be coming out soon, hopefully, when he gets back from America. But it's everything's just adding, I'm adding pressure on it every time now, and I'm just trying to talk it into existence, you know what I mean?
Well, I've seen... I think it was months and months ago before we even started chatting that you were saying I'm manifesting it.
Yeah.
Kind of spiritual. I'm getting down that road.
It's weird. I mean, in an ideal world, they postpone winning me fighting for the title in Feb and push it to like end of May, obviously close season, start of June, and in a fight here for it against that guy. You know, I'd be willing to do that, because it's very hard to fight in like the end of Feb and then wonder if your hands are going to be okay to fight shortly after. If, I don't know, if Birmingham got in touch with BKFC and said, look, we want to do this, could you hold fire on that fight for Conor and we do that? Oh, mate, it'd be unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you got to think as well, like, that's an American-based company. One of the biggest stars in America is Tom Brady, which you'd almost expect Tom to be part of this, do you know what I mean, coming into the shows and stuff. Mental.
It's like it was meant to be, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So before that, how did it all begin?
When
did you first punch someone in the head and go, I like this?
Well, I actually started as an amateur boxer when I was 8. So my dad used to put me on his bag. He had like an old army rucksack thing filled with like cloth and that. And I used to punch that when I was like 5 or 6. Used to watch the Tyson fights and that. Grew up watching boxing. Went to my first club. It was the Raven Pub, which had been knocked down for years now. And I boxed in the cellar underneath there. Had my first fight when I was 11. My last amateur fight when I was 24, I had 40 amateur fights. And then I remember sitting there and thinking, like, I was never going to go pro because I couldn't sell tickets. That was it. It was all to do with having a fan base. And then I used to do, 15 tickets for the social club to come down to watch the fight for 20 quid. Like, if you was going pro, like, you had to be selling 60, 70 tickets to get a purse. And if you knew the reality of that, like, it, and how far you wanted to go with it, the motivation wasn't there for me. So it was a bit like...
That's horrible, that, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot...
You've got to tie your ambition.
What
you tell.
I see it all the time. There's fighters that are earning tuppence out of it. After they've paid the management and the trainers and stuff like that, mate, they're walking away with about 700 quid for, like, 4 or 6 rounders and stuff. Like, it's...
Not worth it.
So that's it. So then when this BKB come up, there was a £10,000 8-man tournament, which was like, you didn't win anything in money wise, but for the fights you had, but if you got at the end, the second place got this and the first place got whatever. And the first fight I had was in January the 25th, 2019. So we're looking at 6 or 7 years now, isn't it? 2026.
Yeah. You gotta take them COVID years out. We just lost 3 years, didn't we?
Yeah, well, even that I fought in COVID as well, so it's mad. So, yeah, so like, yeah, could be like 7 years bare knuckle now. And obviously, not a lot.
How old are you now?
31. Yeah, so I'm actually still young for.
So, for the amount of fights you've had?
Yeah.
You're still coming in. I could, and it's mad because I say this, like,
mate, I'll get out of bed in the morning and I think, I'm fucking done with this. You know what I mean? I'm not doing this anymore. And then I win the fight and I think I'll fucking do 10 years of this. Like, the feeling is euphoria feeling when you've won a fight and stuff. It's just like, oh my God, I'm going to bottle this up and do it every time. And then I just get back into laziness and eating and drinking and training and ticking over, but I'm just, there's no motivation there. And then I sit there getting out of bed sometimes thinking, another 2 years, I'm just done. You know what I mean? And then I'll do a full camp, but it's hard. I'm not going to fucking do this again. And then I go for a load of politics with the trainer, the promotion, where I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, want this date, and they give me a different date, and I'm back and forth. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, before the fight, I'm not doing this. I'm done. This is my last fight. And then a fight, and then a win. I'm like, oh, fucking hell, I'll do 10 of them. Yeah.
The endorphins
start popping. Yeah, it's mad.
How do you balance camps not with work? How do you balance?
I fight for too many rounds. I'm not doing 12 threes for it as a pro. So the longevity is not there. Do you know what I mean? It's quick. It's high paced. I train in an amateur gym at Tamworth Amateur Boxing Club 2 days a week. And I train with Simon at Fitness Factory, my main coach for bare knuckle. And I train with him Mondays, Wednesdays, and I do sparring on Sundays. Fridays, I do like Saturdays, like I'm a rest day. I do like 6 days a week training. Sometimes twice a day when I'm trying to lose weight. I'm coming down from like 92 kilo to 74. Do you know what I mean? Like, and after weighing at 74, we're then a hydrate to like 81, 82 the next day. So I had, Wow.
Is it like we were discussing before we come in, that you've got quite a good job, haven't you?
Yeah.
Is it like Fight Club and you turn up and like, you don't get hit?
I don't ever book holiday after. So I went and done an awards. I hosted an awards night for the Sibsy for M&E, the M&E World on Friday. And everyone come up to me and went, oh, well, no, like, after your fight, like, oh, do you have a couple of weeks off? And I'm like, no, we're going to the office on a Monday. No one can, honestly, mate, I've got a LinkedIn post when I'm there and my face is out.
I was kind of since we were into it, after where the spine's
at. And I'm just like on the laptop, innit? And people just, to be fair, mate, I think people are used to it in the office now. They just leave me to it. They're like, oh, well done. That's it. You know what I mean? They don't understand that world, do they?
Mm-hmm.
But people just don't get it. They're like, I don't, how would you go and what do you work saying? I'm just like, well, as long as it's not affecting my job, like if I'm having to have it off sick because I've got an operation on my hand and that, like that's.
I was going to say, are you trying to talk, but the fingers are top.
Oh, mate, yeah, like the state of them there, look, to see that there, like that. I uppercutted him and it snapped, my bone did. And I wanted to go to Turkey, so I turned down the operation. I got my finger straight, now it's just all deformed now. I had to crack it every time and stuff. Well, I remember like I couldn't do the mouse and I was having to do it with my left hand and I just, mate, it was so hard, I was just like. And in the blood, you're right. And I'm like, yep, I'm sound.
Oh, your elbow on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crap, man. But like, it's just part of Barcelona, the game. And to be fair, it doesn't, like I say, like, it's not affecting me to the point where I'm having to have time off work. And I'm training before I go to work. And when I finish work, like today, so I'm, this is my lunch hour. And then I go back to the work. Some things clear up at the office. So I'll be in the gym for gone 4:30. And then I'm at the gym and then I drive home and then that's it. I'm bath bottle in bed, mate. And you know what I mean? It's another day tomorrow. So yeah, it's manageable. When everybody says, how do you balance your work? I'm like, I'm not fighting 12 threes. So it's not like, as a lot of pro boxers that are having to go through that, like the fitness is different for mine. It's high paced work, shorter. Do you know what I mean? For them, it's longer duration. So they've got to make sure they're doing 2-3 hour sessions and they're training 2-3 times a day. Where for me, 45 minutes cardio in the morning, fasted cardio, just try and burn a bit of fat. And then we'll do an intense session on the night. I'll get away with it.
So you're not doing 4 o'clock in the morning road runs?
Oh, no.
To be fair, Frankie said, I used to do the road runs, but I didn't understand getting up at 4 o'clock.
Nah.
I don't dive.
Do you know what? I'll give it to some fighters. Some fighters are like, they are like spot on. Do you know what I mean? Like they'll get up in the morning and they'll do that, mate. But I'll fucking set my alarm at 5:30 and then I'll just snooze it to 7. Do you know what I mean?
So the thought's there.
Yeah, and then like if I'm working from home, it's easier to go. Like if I'm doing a fasted cardio, my gym as well. I've moved to Atherston and I live at the back of the gym. So like I walk out or down the alley onto the high street and the gym's there, mate. It's like less than 2 minute walk. So sometimes I just think I wake up and I think, oh, go back to sleep. I wake up at 5 to 8, well, start work, and then on my lunch go, right, I'll fuck off to the gym and do an hour now when I'm like, you know what I mean? When I'm just awake. So I don't have the unfortunate occurrences of having to get up at 4 a.m. because my job starts at 6 and 7.
Yeah. So what's the, without going into it too much, what's the dough like? Is there going to be eventually a crossover where you're going to be like,
No, it's good. It's good.
Not in your everyday job.
Will
there be a point where you might have to make a decision, or is that
no,
a dream?
No, because it's not financially viable for me to look. It's good money. Do you know what I mean? It's not like what people would expect
from me. Season boxing.
Yeah, people expect think I'm a millionaire, mate. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not even doing the 6 digits. I'm nowhere near the six figures yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's 5. I'm alright. I'm not even close to six figures yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, so people get this concept that I'm walking around. I say it to my mum and dad all the time. Oh, mate, your son's loaded. Oh, he's millionaire. Your son is. I'm thinking, mate, I'm driving a 1980 Quadra. My missus went up into the wall. It's like dented the one door. It's like, I don't want to pay the 400 quid to get it fixed. You know what I mean? So I'm just as normal as anybody else. You've money. It's good. And my sponsorships work out. And it's a fucking good payday because that enables me to go on holiday 7 or 8 times a year. Do you know what I mean? And put sort of away for investments and stuff. So I'm happy. You know what I mean? I'm happy. Some people might go, oh, you would have had money more in pro boxing, but my pathway didn't work out that way, do you know what I mean? So I probably wouldn't have.
You look at the trajectory that bare knuckles on now, and it's only going one way, isn't it?
It's
Tom Ross was saying when he was in before as well.
Well, that's it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that company doesn't pay as well as BKFC. That's all I know. I know they don't. BKFC have got more money. They'll throw money at the bigger names, like, but if you're proving your worth, which I did on my last fight, you know what I mean? I sold 700 plus tickets, mate, and I gave a lot of ticket sales out to the other lads as well, you know what I mean? Because I couldn't be arsed to sell many, so I could have done over 1,000. The next fight I could do 2,000 tickets. Like, I think Johnny Fisher's like one of the biggest ticket sellers, and he's only doing like 3,000. So it's amazing to see how far I've come in Bare-Knuckle to be able to bridge a gap where you're actually doing more ticket sales than some of the biggest pro boxers off the match room and stuff. As a Bare-Knuckle fighter, like go back in 2019 when I started, before BKFC entered the UK, before BKB got big, if I turned around and said, well, just to let you know, I'm going to headline the BP post, they'd go, fuck off. No, you're not. No, you ain't doing that. I guarantee. Oh, if I could go back to myself and go, just let you know, in 6 years' time, mate, you're going to headline a BP, you're going to be one of the biggest ticket sellers for BKFC. I probably would have believed it, to be fair, because I always believed I was going somewhere.
Yeah, was idea,
if you told anybody else, they would have been, nah, it's not going that big.
It's massive, though, isn't it? Yeah. Remember, we were at the Batroom shows back in the day when like Frankie and Sam were fighting.
Yeah. I remember that.
It was a new thing in Birmingham, wasn't it? That was, and you're literally replicating that with Ben.
That's it. That I think that's what I'm doing. I'm going against the grain here, and I'm not doing your cliche route of a pro boxing. I'm doing it in bare-knuckle. And I've got a lot of pros in Birmingham. Because there's a lot of bitter and jealousy in Birmingham with me, but there's a lot of pros in Birmingham, a lot of good lads as well, that'll come up and a lot, fucking fair play, man. Smashing it. You're doing really well. Like you're smashing it. Where, like, them lads are on good level and they haven't headlined the BP Pulse. I've headlined the BP Pulse as a bare-knuckle fighter, not a pro boxer. So, like I said, it's going against the grain, isn't it? It's weird.
Yeah. What's the relationship like between BKFC and BKB? Is it a bit kind of pancho or not?
It's a genuine, BKFC are there, BKB's there. BKB talk about BKFC or slag them off. BKFC doesn't say a thing about BKB, which tells you the two different things, you know what I mean? It's like if you started a new company and then your other mate's got a company that you fell out with, and then you're like, well, fucking hell, he's turning over 200 grand more than you a year, and he ain't asked about you because he's got things going on, but you're sitting there thinking, he has got that contract, I don't know, he's got, do you know what I mean? It's like, just focus on yourself. Like with me, like when I left, I had a lot of bitterness with BKB. I don't have any bitterness with them now. I wish them all the best. I think they're doing really well. I'm glad BYB took them over and stuff, to be fair, because it's Tom Ross is doing the commentary. I ain't going to say too much about Tom Ross because he's a prick.
That's the same.
I've got my reasons for it, you know what I mean? But like, they're doing all right. But BKFC, for me, like, that's the place to be. I'm never going to fight in a triangle ring. There's lads that suit that. A triangle ring of, it's not that big. I'm a boxer. I've got good footwork, you know what I mean? I'm a good pugilist. I'm not a brawler. That don't suit me. I'm not going to go in a triangle ring. If they turn around to me, oh, we're going to pay 200 grand. I go, yeah, sound all right, and that's fucking fine. But yeah, I'm going in a circle ring to do what I do best, you know what I mean? Negate getting into a brawl and pick and punch and, you know what I mean, and perfect the game plan and win a fight. That's it for me. BKFC is my, that's where I need to be, not anywhere else.
So anyone on that side, you would genuinely like to punch in the face?
No. Okay. I'd like to fight that Lauren Nelson. I think he's their top boy, but he in a BKB ring, I'm not saying he's going to beat me, I don't put him, but it's going to be a tough fight because he's shit. Come forward. He's not shit, he's just fucking tough, man. And he'll come forward and plow you down in a triangle ring, but he comes in a BKFC ring, he gets schooled every day of the week. I'd pick him to pieces, do you know what I mean? He won't win. But that's like what I'm saying. It's the level. Stylistically, it's like one's in a triangle, one's in a circle. So I mean, I'm going to use the circle where I can use the ring, where in the triangle you can't use it, mate, you're getting cut off. So yeah, fair play to them lads doing it, but it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, because I know with the with Malinage's fight last month, where he's boxing beautifully, isn't he? But then he's just getting absolutely opened up.
So the first three rounds he was clear, and in the last two rounds he struggled against Tyler because Tyler realised that he had to put the pressure on him and cut him off, which is so easy in a triangle ring. You could have the best move in the world, Lomachenko. But in a bare-knuckle fight, when you're getting clipped and stuff and he's in the ring small, it's hard to get out of the way. Do you know what I mean? That's why I like the circle ring. There's just more room to manoeuvre.
Yeah.
Use your feet.
Yeah. Just in regards boxing then. So obviously when we spoke to Frankie Gavin the other week, he had some thoughts on his fight and boxing in general against or as opposed to bare-knuckle boxing.
Yeah.
Do you find the way bare-knuckle boxing is reflected by boxers and people in the boxing fraternity? Do you think it's unjust or unfair, or are you sick of the is there no comparison at all?
There's do you know what it is? I think I'm gonna clear this up now. You're a pro boxer and you come across the bare-knuckle. It's not about is bare-knuckle the same or what. It's either you fucking got it or you win. You can grit your teeth and have a scrap. I mean, dig down, do you know what I mean? And bite down on a gum shield and get fucking stuck in and win a fight, or not. whether you're 40, 50, 30, it doesn't matter. You can all pull it on. It's all down to that mentality. Getting in the ring and knowing that you're going to go in there and fucking put 100% in. Like, I'm going in that ring sometimes thinking, I swear to God, thinking, if I've got a broken jaw, I'll fight for it. That's not me just saying this now because we're on a podcast. That's me saying, if I break my fucking jaw, I'll box my way around to get out of it. And a lot of pro boxers, this is what my bugbearing is. You get the ones that come at the end of the career. It's not about age as well. It's about inactivity. If you've got people like Frankie and Jamie and stuff that have been out the ring for a long time, these lads, if they stayed active, they could possibly be good in BKFC. But they're not staying active. They're not staying in the gym. They're not training. So then when they're just jumping back in and doing a camp, they're losing, like, you know what I mean? It's that competitiveness of being in the ring, and sparring doesn't replicate it in, do you know what I mean? Bare knuckle, you can't replicate anything in. That's one thing with MMA. You can put a head guard on and gloves and shin pads and you can do this. And boxing, you can spar, but bare knuckle is bare knuckle. You can't replicate it unless you spar with MMA gloves. But then again, you're risking eye pokes and stuff, so it's a risk. So for me, I feel like with boxers like any pro boxers now, I feel like if you're active in your career, And you've finished your career and you've stayed in the gym and you've stayed healthy and you've lived a healthy lifestyle and you've carried on, like, competing, you know what I mean, training with the younger lads and stuff, I feel like it's good for you. It's worth having a crack. But like I say, it's in there and there. You can't go in it half-hearted. You can't go in there thinking, oh, if it's not for me, I'm going to get out of there. Because that's not the way you've got to think about bare knuckle. Bare knuckle, you've got to be like, I'll fucking go out there with my jaw hanging off. Do you know what I mean? I ain't throwing the towel in. Mm. And people go, oh, you're a mug because you won't get paid enough for that. I'm not, I probably don't, but it's legacy for me. Legacy is about everything. You know what I mean? I want to finish this. Like, look how far I've come now. I want to finish this. And in 3-4 years time, people go, yeah, but fucking hell, the king of Birmingham, bare knuckle, that's Conor Tierney. You know what I mean? Look at everything he's done for the sport. And you don't get to that by not throwing yourself in the deep end and fighting to the fucking death. And that's what a lot of it lacks. I think, like, James DeGale, pants, terrible, like, you know what I mean? And he was a class operator, again, not lived a healthy lifestyle, lived in Ibiza and stuff, and partying and that. Long layoff, got into bare knuckle, didn't work out for him.
So conditioning in bare knuckle, you talk about inactive fighters, how would you possibly condition for a bare knuckle fight if you're an ex-boxer coming then just to do this?
You can't condition yourself, man. You just can't. Like, that shock, that first punch that you get hit with. I remember when I watched Prince Nazim and he fought Kevin Kelly. No, he won, and then Kevin Kelly sat on the ring and he said to Kevin Kelly, he went, I'm going to smoke your boots. And I remember Kevin Kelly, after the interview, when he fought, said he smoked, he did a foul. Kevin Kelly said to Naz, I'm going to smoke your boots. And Naz said after, when they fought, I remember that first punch when he said he's going to smoke. And that's a bit like bare knuckle. It's like an electric bolt that hits down the back of your spine, that first punch. Look, it's the fucking, like, they said, right? Do you know what I mean? I should be getting punched bare knuckle in the middle of a crowd. Like, and that is like fight or flight then, like taking that
punch. It's surviving.
So you watch now, like, this guy. How much I'm used to it. Yeah, how much I'm used to it. I'll see you there. You go, and I just carry on. But you see a lot of them, you go like, and they're like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh. Yeah, you see a lot of them, a lot of them that don't have not done it before, like the Gael and that lot, like, they'll get punched and they're like, fucking hell, like they feel like they're bleeding. It's not, it's just sometimes it's that smack, that bang, and it's like, woo, your skin's going all out because you're like, fucking, I don't like this. With a glove, it's a bit more comfort. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's comfort in it, do you know what I mean? It's a little bit like, you can stick your chin out and take a couple. It's not bang. You would never do that in bare knuckle unless you had really good head movement, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's mad. You can't condition. You just cannot condition for bare knuckle. And you can condition your hands, which I do. You get a Makiwara board. And you just work a Makiwara board.
Yeah, that was going to be my question.
You break down the fibres in your bones and they rebuild stronger. And you have sensitive hands every time you do it, a few days, but then they get stronger. Like, my hands, to be fair, they're pretty like bricks now. At the start of my career, I broke my knuckle, broke my metatarsal, and I used to suffer with the breaks. But at the end of my career, I've only broke my finger, which is, you know, I mean, it's some can't be happened, finger bone gets strengthened. But at the end of my career, my hands are getting a lot stronger now, to be fair. I'm punching trees now. You know what I mean? I'm punching the shipping containers, and dung, 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 getting heavier. I can hit the brake. There's a steel pillar in the amateur gym sometimes at the end of the gym. I just hit it and the lads just like looking as if to say, look, how the fuck are you doing that?
But that's the thing, isn't it? So you're, yeah. So for you, it's conditioning.
Yeah, yeah.
Bare knuckle,
yeah.
It's your tools, isn't it?
That's it.
And that's what Frankie was saying. He saw in the changing room before lads hitting things. Oh, fucking hell, what am I doing now? But that,
yeah. You're hitting the pads bare knuckle, and some of them pads as well, like the Ascari pads, like, are made for it, are soft, but the winning pads are really, like, hard. So you're hitting them, and some people are probably thinking, how the fuck's he hitting that without hurting his hands? Like, I see it with the amateur lads, like, because I was that, you know what I mean? I was like that, and I see them when they hit the back, and they're like, how do you do that? And I'm just like, I'm just used to it now. Like, I'll do. The only thing that bothers me is when, like, you can see all the scabs and that now, when the skin peels off, which is not a bright thing. It's more just skin. You can't help it. But I'll be on, I'll do like 8-9 rounds on the bags, and they're all hitting it with the bag, and I'm hitting the same strength with the fists, like, and they're just like, put some gloves on, and I'm like, why? Because I don't fucking fight gloves, you know what I mean? Like, I do pads bare knuckle, and I'll do bag work bare knuckle. But I was sparring 16-ounce gloves and a head guard.
Mm. That's mad. When I'd done a charity white collar fight.
Yeah.
And not mine was sore. So I bought the extra pads to go in the gloves. You know, like the knuckle pads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The extra ones. Because fucking hell, that can't be right. But then, yeah, you're literally the opposite. But you've got to go through that and then.
No, I know.
Mm. So do you like a top then? Do you like to party?
Yeah.
Is there a. a Conaroo, because I see you down the Blues all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, mate, going home in a while.
I don't think I've ever come to the Blues and not had a beer as well. That's the problem. That's why I don't come as much, you know. Like, I need to go.
It's not so bad now, though. Now we're winning and we're having a bit of success.
And the point
It doesn't matter, though. Like, I still, whether we win or lose on the Blues, I need to know. But that's the problem. I went out choosing off of me all, mate, and I got back at like 2 in the morning, like, then I'm locking at Cleary's, like, lagging. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's my problem. I'm a big drinker. My dad's, I come from a family of drinkers, you know what I mean? I have an Irish family. My dad was a big drinker and stuff. So, well, he still is when he drinks, but he comes off it, like. But, with me, like, I just can't help it. I just love a drink. Like, I love a beer. And I just love that relaxation of just not having a fight. So, like, when I get into my little bubble and I'm just like, oh, fuck off, I ain't going to gym. I'm just going to have a point. I can't help it. I just can't. Like, I just love having a drink.
You know when you go out down the Blues and stuff?
Yeah.
Do you get fingered as that's kind of Tierney?
All the time. No.
I see you play
it. What's going on?
Yeah. Not fingering, but...
I was going to say, yeah. I was like, what you got fingered for? I don't know.
There's a headline in there.
So, yeah.
But I know you like a play up, and I've seen you on the socials. Oh, and again, that's your...
I do a thing to wind up the fucking scum across that thing that don't I and I get a lot of I get paid on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
So like when I get posts that have traction, mate, anything that's like controversial, I get traction on. So I'll do a post about talking about them fuckers and I get like 1,000 likes on it and loads of like 150,000 views. Like that's where the money comes from. So I do it as a wind up as well. I got a lot of Villa mates and stuff and I got a lot of Baggies mates and stuff and I like to wind everyone up. So I am like that and it always starts with a Blues post. Or like I'll be sitting there and I'm like, ah, just going down there, best team in the Midlands. Anyone else says anything, you're a nonce. You know what I mean? So it ruins people up. So they're like, oh, and I've done posts, mate.
In the world, now you can get paid.
Yeah, I've done that reel, and I can't even remember. I'm not pretending to call on. I just realised that I'm not a fucking horrible scummy Villa fan. Like, and my life's so good. And like, I remember it just went, I've blown up, and then people just commenting, like, so see if we comment to this day, and that, like, prick, prick. Yeah, I'd love to see him down the game. Like, yeah. And then someone will come back, like, mate, do you know who he is?
Yeah. Weren't you on that away day, Bob?
Yeah, I'm always on the away. See, if I post that, I'm always on the away.
Yeah.
I don't send it. I post it on my stories on my Facebook, and it gets pinched, like, because the lads always had Lazarus go, oh, you're undercover on them accounts, you are. You own them accounts, because I must have put it on Facebook. I must have been twisted. And I thought, rather than putting, like, oh, wicked, just catching up with the lads, I put Birmingham City lads ready for their game against Millwall. And the lads were like, what if you posted that? Like, you sound like you're on a way now. So I was like, I know, yeah, I feel like a right dick now.
But you know they're going
to kick you. Yeah, yeah, like, oh, yeah, so he's fucking done his burner account as a way now.
Yeah, you've got them all in then.
Yeah.
I'll bring them this, that, and the other. But...
And then you have some old gazer from, like, Gloucester, like a Villa fan, and they comment some of them, like, fuck off, you nuns. Like, and they're like going mad. You can't call me that.
So I've seen some of your recent content as well, when you're driving down your glasses in the sliders and that. And you're just like, I would love someone, and I can say it's a genuine lucky.
Do you know what it is? Because I get triggered, like, someone will I wear glasses, like, obviously, religiously when I'm driving and stuff, because I'm short-sighted, and I'll be driving a fucking van, and someone will come up my arse, and I'm thinking, I know for a fact now, like, if you come past me and see my glasses, you'll think, fuck off, you fucking cunt. And I'll tell you a little story.
Pull over.
Yeah, so just that fucking, I have like road rage because, but mate, that does so well now. Like, people comment on my stuff, like, oh, I should have wore your glasses, like, I should have wore your specs, or I should have wore your Crocs. And it's just like, it must just get traction, like these posts, like, because I'm on a public account, so like, I have loads of, sometimes I'm having like 200,000 views on my post, it's weird. And, I'll tell you a story. We went to Leicester away this season. Went to the we done them away, didn't we, in the first game of the season? Yeah. And I sat fucking, my seat was right next to the barrier. And it was all there. And obviously, I've got my glasses because I'm thinking, I can't fucking watch the game. And I've had a few beers. So I was a bit sweated. Like, can I put the glasses on them there? And I'm obviously fucking getting like, hyped up. And I'm going, hey, and they're going, you're four. Oh my God, fuck off. And I took my glasses off and they just went blurry. And I was like, put them back on. Literally couldn't see, mate. I just seen blur. I was like, fuck off, put them back on. And it was going, yeah, literally, mate. The monkey just going, like, he was going, fucking go, man. And I was going, fuck off. And I took them off, like, thinking it out, but I just seen like blurs. And I was like,
put back on,
yeah. Yeah, and everyone was laughing to me, mate. A couple of Blues fans were laughing about it. I was like, thought it was funny. But then I was just going, yeah, fuck off. I was thinking, I can't fucking say anything. You know, it's a real.
It's right what you're saying. If someone sees you and they're having road rage, and then all of a sudden they're like, they get out.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, for fuck.
I've had one road rage incident in my whole life where I've actually got out of the van. I got a camper, you see, and it was actually about a year ago today. I was going to pick up the keys from my new house because I've moved out now to North Warwickshire Way in Atherstone. And we were driving on the motorway. No, we were driving down Bristol Road through Selly Oak, and there's a geezer in a Honda Civic, and he's fucking, do you know, like, you sort of like speed up a bit to get in the left-hand lane or something like that? I've done that. And I must have been driving, and he's come up to the right. And my missus is there, and my kid, and my other two are in the back. And he's going, fucking, like, at this shouting. And, like, obviously going, what the fuck are you going on about? She's got to turn. I went, like, out with a van. I was like, you fucking cunt. And he's going, yeah, fuck off. So my missus done the window down. And he's done the window down, and he's gone, you fucking old leather handbag, to my missus. Like, so my missus, obviously, we'd come off holiday, she was just tanned, and she went, you cheeky cunt. I went, I'll fucking kill you. So obviously, mate, I've gone then, my head's gone, I'm thinking my kids are in the car, like, and I will never get like this. And I've pulled up, and we got to the traffic lights on the Bristol Road, you know where the McDonald's is?
Yeah.
Mate, honestly, this whole anger has come from me, and I just thought, I'm going to fucking kill him. And I pulled up, yeah, boom, handbrake up, out the van, like, and he's seen me, and mate, he's literally done. I went up and I went, yeah, fucking can. I went, bang, bang, his windows went, and it's going like, in the car. I went, open it then, you fucking little mug. Going absolutely ballistic, mate, and he wouldn't look at me, And I got back in the van, and the kids were just like, just staring at him, I was like, started driving, he snaked off. I thought, fucking hell, what have I done? My hand's killing me. I didn't hit it, I was banged it twice, and I just lost me. I think because my kids was in the car as well, and he tried to swerve my throat. Just, you know what I mean?
He might have learned a lot of flesh, mightn't he?
Well, you think that, mate? The cheeky bastard, right? He comes back on the S Express, he sees me, tanks in, goes, with his fucking hand in there. Like, I thought, you're fucking prick. Yeah. So like, that was the only time I had road rage that bad where I had to get out of the van. I never do it either. And I just remember getting out, adrenaline. I was going, come on then.
Yeah, pop off.
Yeah. And I hate saying that because people always think that I'm like an aggy person who's like aggressive and that. And I'm not an aggressive person. I'm actually quite like a really laid back person. You speak to anybody that knows me, they're like, oh, it's fucking sound.
Well, I think you've probably got to watch what you're doing as well.
Yeah,
because that's a headline yourself. That,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got knocked out.
I should have just went straight through his front screen and dragged him out.
Show me, mate.
Oh, honestly, mate, it was hilarious.
Oh, man.
So, you know, you talk about boxers transitioning over.
Yeah.
And how they could. I know Conor McGregor said that he might have a dabble himself.
Yeah,
do you reckon MMA, inactive or reasonably active MMA fighters could come over and transition?
Again, it's all in here and here, because I've seen old MMA fighters who've been inactive come in and do well in the game. I think it's fucking bottleman. It is. It's like, how can I put it? Here's one, Rob. You're not even a fighter. but your kids are with you, and someone starts mouthing off, and someone fucking, I don't know, someone says something to your kids. Now, you've got that fight or flight in you, innit? And most blokes were, you know what I mean, it's a blah, but then if it comes to the crunch, they have to have a fight. Even if they can't fight, they'll fight. This is what I'm saying with bare knuckle. It's a fight. It's not a boxing match. It's a fight, do you know what I mean? So in activity, like I said, the activity does help when you're going into, but there is a lot of that. It's that and that, you know what I mean? That matters a lot with it. So if you've got the bottle to go for it, that's all I'm going to say. Like, you know what I mean? He's bottled over everything first.
Do you think MMA fighters probably carry that more than boxers? Because
but they're getting elbowed and that. And I think a lot of boxers always think, oh, my hands, because the hands have been wrapped. But yeah, like I said, look, if they condition the hands, it won't be a problem, to be fair. But it's just one of them. I do think there's a number of things. I think in activity over age, 100%. Don't think age is a problem up until about the age of 50. Like I said, there's a 50-year-old world champion. Do you know what I mean? It's all about activity in the gym and staying relatively fresh and active. And then also that is about heart and head. Do you know what I mean?
Does that mean that a lot of people could easily come into it that are game?
Yeah, yeah.
That can just kind of...
Yeah, that, be like, okay, it happens, mate. It does happen.
I think
there is an element, though, like at this level now, where you can't just come in from a pub fight and go, oh, well, I've had a... Yeah. I've had it, mate. Do you know how many times I'll get a message and people go, oh, what it is, mate, is can I fight on BKFC? And I go, oh, all right, well, first question ask is, what's your experience? Or I've done a bit of boxing, but what it is, mate, is when I have a fight and that, I've been out, mate, I never lost in the street. And then how many people tell me that? And I just think it's so cringe. I just sit there and think, mate, we're talking about a professional organisation here. Like, you're coming up against some absolute not monsters in there that can fight, that have fought professionally or destroying people. And you're telling me because you fucking want to fight in the red line that you're going to have to sit with them. It's not going to happen.
Backyard fight.
Yeah. I remember a lad come down the gym and sparred years ago. Exactly the same mentality. He came down to Birmingham City. Oh, fucking, I've never lost a fight. Cut your gum short if you want. Matt Spardy fucking done half a round of him and fucking beating him up and didn't know what to do because you're a trained fighter, do you know what I mean? You're trained fighters. That's another thing. Like I say, you're bottling the head, it does work, but if you train as well and, you know what I mean, you live the life and you're a professional athlete, you will go really far in the game if you've got the bottle and the heart and you can mix it. But if you haven't got the head and the heart or you don't train because you're not active, it's not going to work.
Is that not more dangerous then as well? If someone's got the willingness to be in there, but the body has...
Yeah. I think it is dangerous because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, bare knuckle's actually proven to be safer than boxing because it's bare knuckle and its impact is less of a blow. You get hit someone with a 12-ounce or an 8-ounce glove and you're spreading the blow. I always find that when I spar and I have heavy spars, I have a headache, concussion after. But after a bare knuckle fight, I don't really have concussion.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. You just saw, you got like cuts or broken like bones, but you never got like headache. Whereas I could have a spar with heavy weights sometimes and I go home and I'm like, fucking hell, my head's pounding. I'm just sitting in bed. Now you imagine 12 threes. And the thing is with gloves, another thing, you can hit as hard as you want for as long as you want because your hands are not hurting. Where in bare knuckle, you can't do that. You miss and catch them on the back of the head like I've done. You break your knuckle. You know what I mean, you got to watch what you're doing. So it is relatively safer, to be honest.
Mm. So going back to Blues, how do you feel about the developments and the regeneration and stuff? And if the fight doesn't happen down there, yeah, I can almost guarantee in a couple of years you'll be in the sports quarter in some capacity, putting on a back.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know now. I think manifestation, as always, with St Andrews, I think it will happen. I think let's look at the timeline here. I'm 31 now. Do I really want to be doing bare knuckle in the next 10 years? No. Potentially 35, cap it off there. I don't think sports quarter is going to be complete till at least 2035. I think that's a long, long time to go. I mean, I look at being a QS and I do construction projects with just refurbs and a lot, you know what I mean, a couple of years sometimes, doing not even 20% of the work, of what Blues want to do. And of course, obviously, I can't go against the grain and say that the club can't do it. I just think from, obviously, when you look at risks and that, you don't know what you're going to uncover and stuff, either when you're knocking down buildings, if there's asbestos and flat and anything else. So I think there's enough time for me to get a fight here.
Yeah.
I think with Blues as well, getting bigger and bigger. I think Tom Wagner, Knighthead, Tom Brady involved as well. And then obviously myself expanding with both It's weird in that short amount of time from like 2022 to now, I've gone boom, 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 both gone up. And everybody at the Blues knows who I am. It's a perfect time. So I don't even want to rule it out and say it won't happen here, but I hope that it does happen here before we move, because it's iconic, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? This is an iconic ground. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's history at the end of the day. And the last professional combat sporting event was Henry Cooper for either a defending or obtaining a British title in the 60s. And 60 years on, Conatini fights for a World Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. I mean, you look at that on Wikipedia in like 20 years, you just look up. It's
immortal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
What is your pathway to a world title fight now?
It's next. It's next. World title's next. Yeah, it's got to be. I'm ranked number 3 in the division for the promotion. I've been in the rankings for like 2 years, and the two lads above me are both for the world title and both lost. I think I'm the only one in that rankings who's not fought for the world title yet. So I think I've had 2 good wins. I'm the UK champion. I've defended it successfully. I've got the most main events ever for a British fighter for BKFC. So it just makes sense now for me to fight it. And if it happens at the BP Pulse, it'd be amazing. If not, it doesn't matter. The same job will happen. You know what I mean? The same outcome, me winning the bout, but regardless of where it is. But for me, I'd love it to be in Birmingham.
So you mentioned about obviously Keith Ryan and the boxing. What was it like walking out here when you came down here?
Oh, it was wicked. It was really good when I walked out, yeah.
What was that? It was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Was it last year? Yeah, because I had the bout. I won the bout in August. And I walked out around about, I can't remember what game it was. I think we drew October. I was in the Garrison suite. I went down with Paris, who's one of the Americans that does the, I can't remember what it was, and Poppy. And I walked down the pitch, and obviously Tom interviewed me and started trying to tell me about how I fucking made the wrong decision going to BKFC, and you could have been a big thing, but I wouldn't have been, if that was the case, if it was at BKB, I wouldn't have been walking out with a belt, would I? We did. Turned around and said, yeah, you've made the wrong decision, but let's not go into that. I thought, you're going to fucking tell me and interview me, and that went, fuck off. Do you know what I mean?
In this moment.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm about to walk out of the bat and you're trying to tell me, like, I've done the wrong decision when I've made one of the biggest moves of my career, and it's escalated, like, I've soared through the fucking sky to the limits of where a bare knuckle fighter should go. And you're trying to tell me, but just because you work for that company, that, I've made the wrong decision. Oh, fuck off. Anyway, move on.
But still tag that moment.
Yeah, it's not a moment with him. It's a moment for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's your advice for someone who's watching this potentially and wants to follow your path?
I think for anyone, whether it's boxing, MMA, bare knuckle, do you know what I mean? For any advice, I'd say, which has been accustomed to my knowledge now from what I've gathered, everything's possible, do you know? Like, you can sit there and you can feel sorry for yourself, or you could bang your foot on the table and tell you that your day is going to be bad, but if you bang your foot on the table and you tell yourself today's going to be good and you make it good, that's the difference. It sounds weird, the analogy, but it is. At the end of the day, I believe that I read the book, The Secret, and stuff, and I know it's how you outlay your day, do you know what I mean, and how on your lifestyle. And I sit there and think, oh, this is where I'm going to go next. So for anyone that's watching it now, you know what I mean, that I want to make some of their career, want to make some of their life, do you know what I mean? Don't ever think it's getting hard. Just think it's challenging me, but I'm going to overcome it. Everything's hard in life. Everything. It's easier now to go and live on the streets and be a beggar and a drug addict because you've got, it's honest to God, it sounds really bad, this does, right? But it's actually easier to just give up your life and live like that because no one's relying on you. You don't have to pay bills. You don't have to pay rent. You know what I mean? You haven't got bailiffs breathing down your ear because you owe debt. You haven't got dependents that rely on you. This life now, what you gotta do, you got to understand, like, everything that God throws at you, challenges you with, you know what I mean? If you overcome it and think, I'm still making it, you know what I mean? Even the darkest days I've been there, when you sit there thinking, I've got to give this up. I fucking can't do this anymore. Like, I really don't want to do it. I've thought, nah, I need to stop thinking like that. I need to just think, no, it's gonna work out. I'll look at me now, you know what I mean? I look back and I think, fucking hell, if I've gone back to myself, and even though I always said in my head I was going to be that level, to look at where I am now and the fact that I wanted to be famous as a kid and I wanted to be recognised. I'm not famous, but I'm almost semi there, like, with how many people know me. I can't believe it, but I done that. Do you know what I mean? I didn't Nobody gifted me or said, oh, I'm going to make you famous, or you. I just built everything in my head. I thought, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's it. It's all about knowing that, how to control that. Do you know what I mean? And how to overcome everything. It's overcoming fear, because that's what we fear in life. We fear everything. Mm. We fear things. Sometimes it's whether or not, like, you sit there and think, oh, I don't want to do that, so I'm scared it won't work. Just fucking do it. Sometimes we fail. I don't know how many times I've failed. I've been knocked out. Do you know what I mean? I've been knocked out. I've been stopped, like, and I got back up and thought, hey, my journey's not finished yet. No, I mean, my journey's not. I've still got loads to go. That day when I lose and I know it's done, that's when I'll go, yeah, it's probably done now. I'm going to leave it, because I'll know when. I've had a good life. I've had a good career. But right now, if I lost now, but it was through my own mistake and I knew it was my own mistake, I'd never train probably somehow, I'd think, no, I've got to get back to it because I'm not done yet. Do you know what I mean? So that's what the message is to everybody that's out there watching.
Brilliant.
It's never over until it's over. Do you know what I mean?
Perfect.
Brumtime bomber, Connor Tierney. Thank you very much, mate.
Appreciate it.
Wicked.